Time to let the little ones get all of that energy out. Big Air Trampoline Park inside Fieldhouse USA at the Polaris Mall has your little ones covered with toddler time. Each Wednesday and Thursday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., open only for jumpers 6 and under, the little ones can jump at their own speed and comfort level without the older kids around. It's a safe, fun outlet for your toddler's energy, and they'll feel right at home on all of the attractions. Plus, they'll have the best nap ever afterwards. Big Air Columbus, where the fun never ends. Visit BigAirUSA.com/Columbus for details.
Your Money Replay from Money FM 89.3. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
It is an incredible story, a terrific book that I suggest you pick up, Homeless, The Untold Story of a Mother's Struggle in Crazy Rich Singapore. Today in Money and Me, a perspective of what it means to be homeless, a very intimate perspective, what it means to get yourself out of financial difficulty, and how to build a life of success despite tremendous odds stacked against you. It is my absolute pleasure to welcome Liana Damira to the program. 10 years ago, Liana was in a precarious situation. She was just 22, heavily pregnant, had no place to call home. She faced so much uncertainty, no support, felt she had nowhere to go and no one to turn to. So she and her husband and her two children started living on a beach in Sembawang, where she discovered a whole community of families who were homeless just like her, who stood by each other, who helped each other, and they formed a community of support. Indeed. It's an amazing story. Liana, welcome to Money and Me.
Thank you so much for having me, Michelle.
So this was 10 years ago, the experience of homelessness.
Exactly, a decade ago.
But the book starts very interestingly with you talking about when your parents split up when you were a young child, mm-hmm. and you had to move out of your executive apartment because your parents were selling the flat.
Right.
So you experienced losing a home very early on in your life. And I wonder if you mentioned that particular episode right at the start of your book, because your book is also about parents and children.
Right. Well, when we decided to reflow the book before it got published, right, we thought of putting that particular experiences and scene in, because revolving around the theme of the book of being at home. So what does home means to us, right? So when we dig further about what I had to go through and my experiences, so we found that, okay, at that particular tender age, that was the start.
How old were you when your parents divorced?
12. And I was sitting for PSLE at that point of time.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was like a double whammy for me.
Because you didn't see it coming and then you lost your home.
Right, right.
And luckily you moved in with an aunt.
Yes, after that moved in an aunt and kind of like being forced to grow up at that age.
Yes.
Yeah, and take care of my younger siblings. So I was like the eldest in the family. And I've got three younger siblings at that point of time. So I had no choice but to learn how to really adult at that moment of time where I should actually still be, you know, enjoying my teenagehood.
Well, PSLE is a tough time.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
right?
And dealing with all that change and the move and, you know, the loss of a sense of family as well. So it's home being lost on multiple levels,
yes,
for you,
exactly.
At 12. And then you're mm-hmm. 22. Mm-hmm. 10 years later,
right,
and you're kicked out of the home by your mother-in-law.
Yes, and that is totally unexpected. That is much more unexpected as compared to when I was 12 and my parents is like splitting up. At least they set me down and, you know, like kind of prepped me for it in a way. So I got some time to adjust to it, to that particular situation. But at 22, and I was pregnant with my third child back then, I didn't had the opportunity to relay that so-called good news to my in-laws, but
well, it happened. No idea you were pregnant when they kicked
you out. Yeah, at that point, yes. But it was quite significant because it happened on the morning of Hari Raya Puasa. So I was like, oh, wow, what a day or time that she kicked us out of the home, right? So, yeah, that was
why
what happened.
Why did she do that?
To be honest, up till today, I don't know the actual reason up till today. Believe it or
and
not.
This is your husband's mother, right?
Yes, my ex-husband, my then-husband.
Your then-husband. And did he speak with her? Did he try to figure out
after
why?
After that particular incident, when we were asked to leave the house, no contact was established, no catch-up or follow-up after that, even a call or anything. That we tried to make, and it was unanswered. Usually.
So there was no communication.
Yes,
couldn't
no communication
communicate at all.
Yes,
all you know is you're 22. You have two young kids, one on the way.
Yes,
and you and your husband and your kids have to move, and you pitch a tent.
Yes. So it was supposed to be a joyful, a festive occasion period, right? Because it's Hari Raya Puasa. So it wouldn't be nice to, you know, at that moment of time where you're being kicked out and then you call other family members to kind of like rent out a room or, you know, a home at that moment. So at that particular time when it happened, we decided to go through the park to just, you know, let the festive period kind of like rides over, like maybe 3 days. But what we did not anticipate was that 3 days becomes 3 months instead. So it was quite an eye-opening journey for me.
Mm.
Yeah. And before we went to the park and before the 3 days are up, we didn't even thought that there could be other homeless families around. We thought we were just the only ones, right? But it was interesting to see after the festive period rides over and then, you know, people start going to work already because weekdays, there won't be any, you know, people will be camping at the park. And we happened to see some other families too, and with children as well, with kids as well. So
that was the first eye-opener.
Yes, correct.
That there were actual families there during the week. And your husband was working at that time, right?
Yes, he was. He was, if I'm not wrong, he was a captain waiter at some of the pub there at Clarke Quay. So yeah, he had a stable job, I would say.
But it wasn't enough for a rental?
Yeah, I mean, we tried to sort out for, you know, the outside rental, and it's much more expensive at that point of time. And yeah, when we try to call up our friends after, you know, after the festive period are over, try to look for a place, 1001 reasons will pop up.
Of course, yes.
So, you know, at that moment is where you get to learn who are your true friends, who are your family members, right? And yeah, it was quite an interesting journey, I would say. And to be honest, reflecting back on it today, right, I'm really extremely grateful that it happened.
You're grateful that it happened? Wow.
Yes, indeed.
Why?
It kind of shaped me to who I am today. It's called me. And the never give up spirit is embedded in me after I have to go through such a rough and tough time. And it kind of like built up the, you know, the resilience, which is not easy. And usually on a common people perspective, right, it will be like it's easier to give up, right? So that's one of that.
What was the turning point for being able to get out of homelessness and living in that tent in Sembawang?
Okay, I would say that after living there for like 3 months and being discovered by other journalists, being offered assistance to be brought into a shelter, but then coming back to the park to help the other families to get a place as well. Because what I learned was that they prioritized my situation as I was pregnant back then. And I have two young kids, right? So they prioritized my family to get a shelter first. But I did ask them, I did ask the social worker, the other organizations, like what will happen to the other families that is currently on the beach, because they do have children as well with them. And the thing that made me heartbroken was that when I come back to the park, and coincidentally, on that very night, there was a raid.
A raid.
And a lot of the police were involved, and there were other officials from other government sectors, and they were chasing all these other homeless families out of the park. So that was when, at that particular downturn itself, right, I learned that there will need to be someone who can stand up, you know, for all of these other people who are in need. And that was when a fire, you know, just suddenly sparked in me and says that, okay, Liana, you can't just, you know, keep quiet about this. You got to do something about it. And that is when I kind of like drill into myself that things need to get better so that it can be an example and a role model to, you know.
Is that why you wrote this book? Because you want to shine a spotlight on homelessness in Singapore?
Yes, exactly. So that was what inspired me to do so. And even after the particular episode, I returned back to the Befriender scheme. So I volunteered with other organizations to help other families in need, or particularly those who are homeless. And it pains me to see that up till even today, in the year 2019, there are still families who are seeking shelter, you know, seeking a roof over their heads.
Do you still
head
to the beach sometimes?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And it has to be, you know, in the nighttime, because they try to be in the shadows as much as possible.
Mm. And how do you dig yourself out of this financial hole, this space where you have no roof over your head, you have kids who are depending on you, you have a new baby on the way? How do you dig yourself out of that? I know it's 10 years ago and you've moved on to several other jobs. In fact, you are the founder of Business Virtual Assistant Singapore. So you're an entrepreneur and a successful one at that. So what was the turning point for you?
I would say that the thought of not going back to where I landed on before, so that was being homeless and being in that tent by the beach, right? As nice as it sounds to have like a beach view every morning when you wake up, as nice as it sounds, but the weather is something that, you know, you can't control, and that is something that can be a drastic thing.
So a determination not to be in that place
again, correct.
So was, you know, savings, you know, having savings, a buffer, an emergency fund, that sort of thing. What sort of money lessons do you think that that experience has brought to you?
Okay, so if I were to reflect back, at a point of time, I was not working, so I just quit from my full-time job. I had no fixed income. And at that same moment, as I was going through the transition from shelter to finally getting a rental flat from HDB approved, my ex-husband MIA'd. So he kind of like gone, and I've no maintenance from him as well. So money was very tight. Whatever little savings that I have left is gone. So what I did was, I knew that we needed help. So that's the initial basis, right? So I seek financial assistance from the social service sector and attain temporary financial assistance from them. However, what I come to realize and come to learn was that instead of just budgeting alone, I need to find ways on how I can create income streams, multiple income streams for myself. So in a traditional set, you have to work to earn a fixed income, and then you budget it to, you know, to your expenses and all that. So for me, I went a stretch further. Instead of just working, I find side hustle. To do other businesses, you know, like create trinkets and then sell it online. And I upgrade myself. I taught myself how to code in the wee hours of the morning, and created my own website and all that. So yeah, that was the experience that I had.
And how successful were you with these other streams of income?
It's still running up till today. So, but I would say that Virtual Assistant Singapore is one that has been quite a grounded business for me.
How did you start that?
Okay, so I mentioned earlier, I taught myself how to code, right?
Yep.
So I created a website, and when I did flea markets to actually sell all my trinkets that I've created, that was when I got to meet other entrepreneurs, you know, other budding startup people in that sector. And then they need help to actually create their own website too, or maybe manage the website that they have. So that was when I realized that, oh, actually, there is a demand, there is a gap for someone to help with the daily operation of the business on the back end, you know, like administrative and website management. So that was how it got started initially. So I helped to manage their website and their social medias. Yeah. And then that was when I found there's a gap. And that in 2013 was when I soft launched Virtual Assistant Singapore on top of the trinket business that I already have. And it has run like coming to 6 years today. So I might have done something right somewhere.
Congratulations.
Right?
So it was the coding really that was the key for you. Right?
Initial key. And subsequently after that, I've learned administrative wise, like email management, getting productive, leveraging on all the other tech softwares that are available online, right? And streamlining the whole process, making it easier for other entrepreneurs or other business owners to use that kind of softwares and all that. So, yeah.
It's just amazing that you're doing all this learning. Most people would feel absolutely, you know, maybe the lowest point of their lives dealing with depression, maybe, or the fear of being alone for the rest of their lives because your husband had disappeared. And then here you are side hustling.
Yeah. I guess that
what was that frame of mind that allowed you to, I suppose, let go of all the
To be depression? Honest, I believe I use side hustling and learning or upgrading as my escape from dealing with, you know, the reality of going through divorce, trying to find income to, you know, put food on the table for my three kids. But I've already delivered, right? So I have a baby.
Oh,
and I have to juggle children's care, because back then, like a decade ago, there's not much support in childcare, you know, in the government assistance line.
Especially
and it's expensive, especially if you have a baby, you know. Infant care is much expensive back then.
So you go to work while you have an infant?
I can't.
That's why you were side hustling.
Yes, that's why I'm side hustling. Right. And that is why I try to create other ways where I can still put food on the table, but at the same time being there for my children. Yes, work from home entirely.
And had you made any trinkets before?
No, to be honest. So I was quite fortunate to just get the inspiration and idea from the social assistance that I got in the initial years, right? During my transition period, I dedicated a portion of it. Like, for example, I've received $400 of government aid. So I just set aside $200 to purchase a laptop and a dongle back then, because there's no Wi-Fi, dongle. So internet access through dongle. And from there, it opens up more opportunities and world for me. YouTube is there already, right? So I learn a lot online. I taught myself how to self-code through a lot of other platforms like Coursera, Udemy, you name it. So everything I learned online. So the internet was a getaway from me.
Just amazing. Yeah. What do you want to say to people out there who want to start a business but feel they don't have the capital, they don't have the money, they can't do it?
That's the thing that you have to fine-tune your mindset in. If you're to start a business, before even getting the investment or the capital in, the money in, find out if there is a demand first. Because when there are a demand, there are people who are willing to, you know, dig out their pockets and pay for it. And that is what you can raise from. So you don't initially need a capital or a investment from your own pocket to start a business. You can use other people's money to actually start. But provided you create something based on the demands that there are out there. So when there's demand, somebody has a pain for it and you have the solution, people will pay for it, and that particular payment will be the start of your business.
Can you manage my website? You are so full of ideas.
Of course. I'll be happy to.
Not sure if I can afford you.
I'm sure you can.
How has virtual assistance grown since you started in 2013?
Well, initially I started it with a good friend of mine, my best friend, and my sister, who back then was undertaking a diploma in business administration. So I got to learn a lot of business from her books. So I kind of like tack on my younger sister diplomas, books and lectures and all that to learn more and to get more insight about how to manage a business or run a business, right? And that was in 2013 when we soft launched. So up to today, we've managed to grow it to other stay-at-home mothers or career-switching moms who used to be like a personal secretary or personal assistant to other CEOs or MDs of a larger company. And then they just want to do a switch on, you know, having the balance of taking care of your own children and still earning some income while they're at home, right? And right now we have about 8 ladies with us, 8 other mothers. I've got 3 other single ladies, who do a lot of freelancing as well. So yeah, they are my virtual assistants. So
fantastic.
It's just not me alone right now.
Liana Damira is the author of Homeless, The Untold Story of a Mother's Struggle in Crazy Rich Singapore. So your kids are grown right now.
Yes, teenagers.
What do you want to say to parents about managing their own money so that their children's lives aren't affected by their choices?
One thing that I learned from a very personal experience is whatever money that comes in, right, aim to save first before you spend. Because we are naturally inclined to get an income and then we spend and then we try to save whatever that is balance or whatever
save
that we have left,
first.
Right? So instead,
pay yourself first.
Correct. Save first. Put it aside. Invest where you can before you decide to spend on, you know, whatever the things that you have budgeted for that month, for that years. Yeah.
Are you an investor?
Yes. not a big investor. I do not call a big investment portfolio, but I do invest in little other businesses.
And that's terrific, because it sounds like you're thinking about your retirement as well. And
of course,
building funds there.
Initially, like what I mentioned, we have to be savvy in terms of trying to establish multiple streams of income, right? So investment is one, apart from, you know, using your skills or your talents, whatever you know at the moment, to provide it as a service or create a product to sell. That is another. And then at the same time, working full-time or working part-time or freelancing to earn an income.
Wow, so, you must have amazing time management skills.
Oh, yes.
You
that
have
is
three kids. You've written a book. You have multiple streams of income. So what do you say to mothers especially or people out there who have many balls in the air when it comes to time management?
Just self-assess first. You will have to self-assess and see where are the room where you are actually not using your time productively. You know, like we tend to be, okay, because we are working, we deserve to just binge Netflix, like, you know, at the end of the weekend. So instead of that, that is the time where you can allocate to perhaps upgrade or seek into what are the current assets you have and then how you can allocate it to, you know, create the stream of income for you so that it can make you better or financially much more stable or prepared in the long run. Yeah. So time management is key.
It is, isn't it? It
yes.
sounds like you don't waste a minute.
Yeah,
usually. You're either learning coding, starting a business, or, you know, learning about investing or investing.
Yeah.
Or growing your business.
And I just graduated from a diploma, actually, right now.
Oh, congratulations.
And also planning to get a degree, provided if I can get a scholarship.
Wonderful.
So, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure meeting you. I hope your book does everything that you hope it does in terms of shining a spotlight on homelessness in
Hopefully.
Singapore.
Hopefully.
Thank
yes.
you for
Thank
coming
Thank you so
by.
Much, Michelle, for having us.
You're most welcome. Liana Damira, my guest today, author of a memoir, Homeless, The Untold Story of a Mother's Struggle in Crazy Rich Singapore.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.